So let's begin. So my name is David Feldman. I'm a licensed family and marriage therapist. I practice here out of Chicago and I see clients all over the world. And my mission is to help people build great marriages. This is something I believe that every person can achieve in their own life and that it's your birthright, that everybody has the opportunity and the capability of having a fantastic marriage. And that's my passion, and that's what I do here on Twitter. Today, we are going to be speaking about creating a shared vision for your marriage and why that's so important. And I do have my lovely wife here, Miriam Rochel, as a co-host, and she'll be chiming in as well. So before we talk about creating a shared vision for our marriage, let's first discuss what is the purpose of relationships. And in particular, your own relationship. Why do we, as men and women, why are we so obsessed with being in relationship? Right? It's so obsessed that it's almost like if you're not in relationship, it appears like that your life is almost on hold for a second or two. You know, that's whether you're a man or a woman. So there's obviously a drive for us to connect. So what is the purpose of our relationships? So everybody's going to have their own answer. I created a bunch that I just want to throw out there. Probably the primary purpose of our relationship is to love and to feel loved. So to give love, we all have a desire to give love and to feel love, right? We want to feel that somebody loves us and thinks the world of us and cares about us. And we want to be that special person for another person as well. Another reason why we get involved in a relationship is to connect with other people, right? Humans are a very connecting species, as we can see even from this Twitter spaces, right? I'm speaking to, other than my wife, I haven't actually physically met anybody here, and yet here we are having this conversation. So we know that there's an innate desire in each of us to connect to another, and how much more so to somebody who's really special and valuable to you in your life. So that's a big part of relationships. You want to connect. Another reason why we get involved in a relationship is to give and to receive, right? We all have a strong desire to give to another, whether it be in charity or whether it be just a kindness or whether it be a listening ear or whether it be emotional support. We all have this desire to give to other people. And we also, all of us, have the need to receive, right? None of us are standalone islands. None of us can make it completely on our own. We need other people's help and support. So that's another reason why we get in relationships, to be a giver and to be a receiver. Okay, and a fourth reason why we get involved in relationships is because we want to share our life and our life experiences together with another person, right? I'm sure everybody here, you can raise your hand if you agree. When we do things together with another person, it doesn't just double the pleasure and positivity, it like creates a brand new experience that goes way beyond what I can do by myself. I remember one year I started getting into downhill skiing, and I was doing it with my cousins, and I was doing it with my children, and I had to take a business trip out to Washington, the state of Washington, and I decided that after the trip, I'd schedule in some time to do some downhill skiing. So I had this business meeting, and then I got in my rented car, drove out to the mountains, and hit the hills, you know. And here I am downhill skiing. And, you know, I may be alone in this, but I can't tell you how boring it was to go up and down the hills completely by myself. I mean, I felt so sorry for everybody who took the chairlift with me because I was just like unloading on them, like all my stuff, like a total independent person, just completely sharing all my stuff because it just didn't feel the same unless I was doing it with somebody else. So that's a very normal thing to share a life and to feel like we have somebody to share our life experiences with. That's really, really important. And then finally, the last reason I came up with that I wanted to share just for right now, everybody's going to have their own reasons, but the last reasons I was thinking about to be in a relationship is to share intimacy, right? As humans, we have a desire for physical intimacy, not just affection, but affection also, but even beyond that, we have a desire for sexuality and to express ourselves via and to connect via sexuality. So there's these five major reasons why we get into a relationship, and I'll just repeat them for the new people: to love and be loved, to connect with others, to give and receive, to share our life experiences with, and to share intimacy. I'm sure there are more, and if somebody wants to add some more, they're welcome to, just in a few minutes, and we can go from there. So the bottom line is that while these are great purposes for a relationship, this level and type of thinking doesn't serve us that well for marriage. And I know that may sound ironic because these are all great things, right? I mean, don't we want to love and be loved in marriage? Don't we want to connect with others in marriage? Don't we want to give and receive in marriage? Don't we want to share our life and life experiences in marriage? And don't we want to share intimacy in marriage? Absolutely. And yet, if this is why we are going to tie the knot, it's going to be difficult. Okay. So that's like, I think that's a pretty radical thing to say because I believe these five reasons are really good reasons why people do get married. So what's going on? Why am I saying this? And I believe that what happens in general with people, and would have happened to my wife and I, is that people basically stumble into marriage, right? So they have this relationship with these five ideas, you know, maybe some more, some less, and they say, okay, well, we're doing such a great job at these five things, let's put a ring on her finger, right? Let's seal the deal, let's sign the contract, right? And let's make this relationship, this dynamic, permanent. Nothing seems wrong with that to me, except for it doesn't really work. Why not? Because it's not the whole picture. So what are we missing? What are these five things missing? This is what a very wonderful relationship is missing when it comes to marriage. Once we agree to commit, once we agree to close the door on leaving, your relationship starts requiring more commitment and dedication at a much higher level, right? The second that knot is tied, things change, right? How do they change? Well, once we commit to ourselves, to each other for life, our relationship requires more sacrifice, more growth, and more personal change. These are just part of the ingredients that are necessary in order for a committed, long-term, lifelong relationship to succeed, right? And once you have a committed, lifelong relationship, these five things, to love and be loved, connect, give and receive, share your life together and share intimacy, those are just the kind of entrance way. This is the ticket to get into the arena. This isn't the actual game that's taking place once you get there, right? Once you get there, in order for your marriage to succeed, you need a higher vision. A shared vision, right? You need to go beyond these five points. Right? You need something that's going to bind you together, something that's greater than you, that's going to bind your love together. Right? Because otherwise, no offense, it's going to be really hard to stick it out, right? Because what happens when, if my purpose is to love and I don't feel loved right now? Or if my purpose is to connect, and for some reason my partner has been very disconnecting recently. Or what if I believe that I'm a giver, but my partner's not so much of a giver? Or what if I start saying, you know what, I have these life experiences, but we can't really share them anymore. I once had a client, very nice couple. She was a wonderful young woman, and he was a very reasonable and intelligent young man, And they had built their relationship. A big part of their relationship was the fact that they both loved the great outdoors. And they used to take hikes together. They lived like, in the European mountains, and they would take hikes together, and they take walks together, and they do running together, and they did biking together, and they took these exotic adventure travel. Some people take travels where they sit on the beach with an umbrella, and they read books in the sand. These people would take these, to Colombia and start climbing some, huge mountains in the middle of Colombia. This is how they considered, this was their relaxation. And this is how they had a relationship, and it was a beautiful relationship until one day she broke her leg. And her leg never healed the same way. And all of a sudden, their relationship started falling apart. And it was really sad to see this happen and very confusing for my wife and I. We both had the opportunity to work with them. And it was very confusing to my wife and I because, in our minds, a marriage goes way beyond whether or not you're a good hiker, right? It seems so intuitive to somebody who's been married, but for some people, when they build their marriage around these five things, like I mentioned, little things can derail their commitment. So that's why having a shared vision is so important. Something that you agree on and that your husband agrees on or that your spouse agrees on. And just another side story, maybe you've heard me say this before. I had a good friend and he fell in love with a young woman, very nice, very beautiful young woman. And they'd already agreed on marriage and they'd already on their way to marriage when she pipes up and she says, "Oh, and by the way, I'm not interested in having kids." And this is already after they had already like signed the engage, bought an engagement ring and everything else. So, this was a huge shocker to this young man. This happened, 25 years ago, and to this day, they're a beautiful couple without kids. And he missed out on that in life. Again, he could have called it off and stuff like that, but this is what I'm referring to. It's so important for us to have a shared vision for our relationship. Because this is what gives purpose to our marriage. See, marriage isn't just an extension of your dating. Marriage is its own mission and purpose. And when we give mission and purpose to our marriage, that's what holds us together over the course of a lifetime. Okay? So what are some of these common shared visions that we have, that we can have? Well, I'll just come up with a couple and then I'm going to open up the floor and I'd love to hear from some other people, of course, including my wife. But the simplest vision is to have a lifetime partner, right? That's something that we can both agree upon. I want to be with this person forever. And that's like the most basic of the visions, not, in my opinion, not open relationships, not polyamorous relationships, not relationships that don't include a personal commitment to the other person forever. Otherwise, there's not much of a mission there. There's just, I'm with you as long as I like you, right? The second and probably the most common reason that people get married and the visions that they share is to build a family, right? We want to have kids. We want to have the best environment for kids. Certainly, that's one of the biggest reasons why couples stay together when things go wrong is that they want to do it, quote unquote, for the kids. So, but this is something outside of them that's holding them together, right? Another reason why people choose to, visions that people have and share is they want to accomplish a goal together. So, I'm just going to use a random example that I was thinking of, and maybe something like Bill and Hillary Clinton. They both have this vision of becoming, president or, politics or something. And together as a power couple, they're greater than each one individually. Just tossing that out there. I don't know the details of their life or their relationship. I'm just thinking. Sometimes you see that in Hollywood, you see that in other places, but sometimes people get married. Certainly in the olden days with politics, countries would. People would marry each other to create higher visions. And the last one, which is something that's personally very important and maybe to you too, is to serve God, right? Some of us believe that it's like a commandment from the Bible to marry and build a family. Right? I happen to believe that. So that is a high, and so does my wife. And so that's a higher purpose that we share that kind of fortifies and keeps us together. These visions, these goals are require the two of us. I need my wife and she needs me. And yet at the same time, they're greater than just the two of us. Right? But not only are they greater than the two of us, but they're greater than our relationship itself. It's a higher level calling that gives purpose and meaning to our marriage and our lives. So this is why it's so important to create a shared vision for your marriage. And if you're dating, this is a wonderful thing to be contemplating and thinking about, before you go out and date. Why is it that you, what's the end goal of the dating? Where are you going with this? Do you really just want, quote unquote, a casual relationship? Is that really what you're looking for? It could be. In which case, oftentimes that's pretty easy to find nowadays. Or are you looking for something where there's long-term potential here? And if so, what does that mean in terms of, what you're going to be looking out for, what you're going to be watching for, what you're going to do on the dates, things like that? What kind of questions you're going to ask, who you're going to date, right? What kind of characteristics you're looking for in a partner. And it's going to all be affected by your vision. And then, of course, you share your vision with your partner and make sure that they're roughly on board, right? You don't have to have the exact same vision, but certainly things like having kids or not having kids makes a big difference, I think. So, yeah, that's my feelings about creating a shared vision for your marriage. And I'd like to open up the floor. Of course, I'd love to call on my wife, Miriam Rachel, to share some of her ideas on this concept and how having a shared mission and shared vision has affected her in terms of her marriage.
So that was I loved how you shared all those pieces. That was great. And I just know for myself, and then when I was writing, my memoir, and I write it from the perspective of a 23-year-old, graduate of a very liberal college, Grinnell College in Iowa, and then having moved to Berkeley and kind of just living there. So it was interesting, even taking myself back in time through that journey. It was about 30 years ago, and just what I was thinking as a 23-year-old, and not having much spirituality in my life. And then, when I went on the journey to learn about more, mysticism and everything else. So just like being kind of just relationships were like. Just the desire for a relationship to partner up with no vision really. I think as a woman, as who's focused on relationships, even from a young age, I find that because women are like relationship beings, and so I think there always is that kind of picture of like, could this be the one? Could this be my soulmate? Marriage and everything like that. But as you said, it's kind of like, it's kind of partnering up and having a good time, and then there's love and all good things happen, and then maybe there's the ring. But practically. Practicality wise and even soul wise, what happens when, as you said before, someone, can't hike anymore, or something else happens, or, their eyes lead astray because, they lose that spark with their partner and they want to go elsewhere. So it's really important, as you were saying, that what it, to be clear and honest with yourself as to, what is your vision, for marriage and for partnering up and for making that commitment with another person, so that it's not like a haphazard thing where it's just based on feelings and whether this works for me and that kind of thing. So, yeah, there's a depth to it, and it's good to consider that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Good, good. And I'm going to ask you in a few minutes, like one of the questions. So just remember this, like, what was the difference between the way you dated before versus, I'd love to hear more about what happened once you became more religious are more mission oriented and you were serving, let's just say, a higher purpose. And again, that was for my wife, Miriam. It doesn't have to be for everybody. Like I mentioned earlier, there are other reasons why people get married, other visions that don't necessarily include God. But you know, for my wife, that was an important aspect. But before you answer that, I would like to open the floor. Perhaps I invited some other people to speak.
Hello.
Hi, Melodic.
Hi.
Hi.
So,
So nice to.
thank you, of course, for always hosting these wonderful spaces. I joined specifically because my boyfriend and I have actually taken the time to write out a mission statement and a vision statement for our relationship. Now, I will say my problem, David, is just not automatically, if I don't want to do it anymore, rip it up and say, forget this, and I'm done. That's my personality. So getting to that place, I think, where you said, you know, once leaving is no longer an option, things can get better. But that's the hardest part for me because I never really not see myself ever having options.
So you feel maybe you feel a little unsafe if there's no way out, like you're stuck or something like that. Is that true?
Very much so. I hate being caged in. I hate not being able to be free.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, no, I totally hear that and respect that for sure. That is definitely a scary part of marriage, the idea that the commitment lasts forever and there's nowhere to go.
Exactly.
I can share from my own experience, and perhaps others can share from theirs, that yes, I totally hear what you're saying. That is frightening, right? I get that. And at the same time, oftentimes it's the catalyst which creates the greatest intimacy between you and your partner. Because of the change that it forces upon you and about and upon your relationship, you know, and it could be any type of change. It could be your own personal change that you have to change your behavior. Usually it has to do with your behavior. It could just be a thought, right? One of the things that I recommend for all people is for people to listen to a TED talk by a woman named Hayley Bartholomew, who was a, is a beautiful woman from Australia who had such a great family life and a wonderful husband, two lovely children, plenty of financial, you know, support, and she was miserable, and she just didn't know why. And she finally, after seeing therapist after therapist, finally somebody said, "I have this nun that I want you to go meet." So she thought to herself, you know, a nun, like what is the sound of music? You know, like what's going on over here? What am I going to be doing in a nunnery? But she went, and this nun told her that she, after listening to her story, she told her all about the effects of gratitude and appreciation, and she gave her a homework assignment. And that was, she said, she was supposed to write down every day one thing that she was thankful for. Now, when Haley left this convent, she thought to herself, "Oh, you know, I've heard all this before from, anybody, Oprah Winfrey or, you know, Dr. Phil or, you know, whatever, my preacher." But she decided there was something about this woman that really convinced her to give it a try. And instead of writing down something every day, she took a photograph using a Polaroid camera. And she didn't just do it for, I don't know, I think the lady said maybe 2 weeks or a month or 2 months. She chose to do it for 365 days. And then she created a book called 365 Grateful. It's a whole website. And she gave a TED talk on it. If you hear her speak, which everybody's encouraged, I encourage everybody to listen, her whole life changed. Like everything about her life changed. She said, "I've never looked at my husband the same way ever since. He's the most amazing man." She said, "I've never looked at a sunset the same way or a leaf on a tree." And you could see her whole transformation in her photos. And this is what happens when, and she's the happiest person now. She was on depression medications and she just couldn't get out of bed. It didn't make any sense. I mean, she had so many good things, you know, rich people problems, right? You know, and, but it didn't matter because a sense of malaise and melancholy can affect all of us, you know. And when she changed her mindset, her entire life changed. If you have a chance, if anybody can DM me, I'll send you the link. I use it as part of my marriage program. It's just fantastic for all of us to constantly, you know, be focused in on this. And so these are the type of transformations that occur when our options are limited. And listen, I don't blame you for feeling afraid. I get it. I'm not here to say, oh, suck it up or any of that stuff. You know, I get it. But that's really important. And sometimes if you believe in the vision that he's talking about, then, and you don't want to let go of that, then that will give you the extra strength to maybe part of the problem is that the visions that he put on the piece of paper don't resonate with you and they're not really your vision. You know, maybe they're things that he wants.
Well, actually, because we wrote it together. So we have our mission statement and we have our vision statement. So like you said, you know, we found our own hiking, if you can say, our own things that we put it together. But my problem is I'm just so, you know, like that's me and that's him. So whether I'm with you or you're with me, is that's not going to change. So that's right. That's my attitude. I don't need you to complete this vision.
Wow, that must make him feel really good.
Pray for him.
Okay, I hear that. All right, yeah, there's definitely challenges for sure.
Wait, David?
Yeah.
I just want to share with, is it Melody? Is that your full name?
That is my name. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's a beautiful name. So I just want to share this with you because this was pretty life-changing for me. There's a woman named Carol Tuttle, and she speaks of that we all have like energy profiles, and there's basically four, and we have all four of these energies in us, but then there's one that's kind of dominant in our being, and then a secondary. And she talks about air, water, fire, and earth.
And I'm definitely fire. Definitely air.
Yeah, but you'll understand yourself if you watch her videos. She has a book called "It's Just My Nature," but it's fascinating because not only do you get to know yourself, you also understand your partner, and then whoever else is in your life. But so, like with air, the people with like more air nature or air energy, they're like there's a more of a randomness, there's more of an uplift, there's an extroverted energy, and then the waters are more introverted, and there's like a connection, a past like future for thing with them, and they love to be comfortable. They're the ones who try on the clothes and make sure they're all soft, and there's more of an introverted nature. And then the fires, which is the third energy, they're more like, again, that extroverted. They take action, very quick, very confident. And then the fours are more of a stillness with that earth energy. But she profiles like movie stars and everything else. And she does it like according to like the facial features and everything. So it's not just personality, but she's got tons of free videos online and she has that book. But I think if you watch it, you'll go like as you said, like I'm fire and air, like as you said. And you'll see why you have that kind of that freedom sense and you don't want to be locked in and you don't want to be trapped because you've got fire and air going on there. But she also helps you kind of figure out like, okay, so these are my strengths and then there could be some things that could be weaknesses. But then how do you do that in a relationship? And then you can see with your partner what he is, you know. And then you might find that once you understand yourself better and your partner better and how to like work things out for you guys, then there's a lot of freedom in partnering up and getting married, and you'll just have a lot more like respect for yourself, respect for him, and know how you both work. Because my husband and I, we knew each other in college, and we thought we were so similar. And then we got married, and we were like shocked to see how completely different we are. So he's more of that fire and air energy, and I'm more of that, you know, earth. That water energy. So, you know, I just knowing that about him, like I'm just careful to give him space and also not to think that he should do things my way. And then he's very respectful of like who I am as an introvert and, you know, how I do things. So I'm just gonna, you know, just tell you, her name is Carol Tuttle, T-U-T-T-L-E. And again, just, you know, look her up and just see how it resonates with you. But I found it very helpful.
Good for you. And thank you for sharing that. I wanted to just offer somebody else perhaps to, you know, chime in. Maybe there's something they want to share about their path with their partner. Maybe they're struggling to come up with a joint vision or a shared vision. Maybe their visions differ so greatly they're despondent about being able to spend the rest of their life with their partner. That happens. You know, people just want different things, you know, at different times of their life. And that's it. You know, they have to part ways. Maybe they'll meet up again another time, but sometimes that happens. That could be a personal reason, like one partner wants to get married and the other one is just not interested at this time. Or it could be for a more political reason. I did work with a young couple. Unfortunately, it was really sad, you know, for me, that the politics of 2016, 17, and 18, you know, with all the politics here in America, that kind of broke them up, which was sad because they were like high school sweethearts and everything. And in so many ways, they were similar, but they allowed the politics of the time to get between them. So people sometimes have a difficulty creating that shared vision and shared purpose in marriage. I did want to ask Miriam to continue, you know, telling us a little bit based on her book, God Said What. I wanted to ask you, maybe you wanted to share like how things changed for you once we started dating more with a shared vision in mind.
Great. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a big change, obviously. Again, I take the reader along for that ride because, my emotions were so strong about it, and my perspective changed a lot. But I think what I love, and it's a quote from the book, is that, you know, marriage is not a haphazard kind of thing. There's a soul-based reason for marriage, and each part helps complete the other part, and they are partners in their earthly mission. And so I think that was something that I kept coming back to on my journey, which was, you know, that we're here for a reason, that all of us have a purpose, and to try to bring a lot of light to this planet, basically, you know, and that, you know, when we become whole within ourselves, and then when we bring compassion and kindness, as well as boundaries, into our relationships and into our life, then, you know, we can make this place, this planet, this world a better place to live in. So I always think that's a good thing, that if a couple gets together, that they have that higher vision of like, how can we help each other in our purposes in life, in bringing more light to this world.
Uh-huh. That sounds like a great way to approach marriage, especially if you believe it's like a soul-based connection. That seems to be a big topic on the internet a lot about, you know, even on Twitter, just about like, do you believe in soulmates, you know, and you know, it's like a double-edged sword, that question, because if you believe in soulmates and then your attitude about soulmates is that there's quote-unquote this perfect person for you, then what ends up happening is a lot of people postpone committing to somebody because they're not really sure whether this person is that perfect soulmate for them. So there's a lot of people coming out there and saying, well, there's no such thing as a soulmate because there's no one perfect person for you. Anybody could be your partner. And there's the opposite of that, which is no, there is a soulmate. Everybody has a soulmate, and that we need to find our soulmate. So it's kind of like, I think what's interesting about that whole conversation is that everybody really wants each other to find somebody and get married. It's kind of like, I think you and I both agree that there is such a thing as a soulmate, but they certainly are not perfect. They don't look perfect, they don't act perfect, and they probably never will be perfect, but that doesn't disqualify them as a soulmate.
Right, and I think it's also important to know that there could be more than one soulmate, meaning depending on your, I want to say, vibration or your level of consciousness or awareness of things, you might attract different people in your life. But so people shouldn't get stuck on that there's only one soulmate. I've lost my soulmate. I found my soulmate. There's never going to be another soulmate, that kind of thing. That again, because it's a spiritual based thing, that anyone that we meet on this planet, even briefly, there's a reason why we're meeting them, whether it's that person at the store, behind the counter, or anywhere. So with soulmates, it's again, it's not just locked into one, and it does a lot depend on, your consciousness, your awareness. And so and then all the work begins when you partner up with that soulmate, But again, like to look at it as that, that there's a reason that you're together, and it's a higher reason to bring some really good stuff, to this world and to this planet, and to bring light.
Yeah, that's really great. And I think even for somebody like Melody, I think Melody, even if you were to consider your partner as a soulmate, I have an article on my blog at davidfeldman.com that talks about, is she your soulmate? And I don't discuss conclusively whether, people are absolutely their soulmates, because that's the spiritual decision for each and every person to decide for themselves. But I do talk about the benefit of looking and viewing it, your partner as your soulmate. Because if you do look at your partner as your soulmate and treat them as such, then it's like instead of them being them and me being me, it's kind of like we're us. And God has specifically put me with this person, as the famous thing goes, marriage is the ability to annoy somebody for the rest of your life, right? So God has specifically put me with this person to have this connection with all the difficulties inherent in two people, trying to come together in spite of sharing the same soul, but having two separate bodies. That's a big part of the challenge of connecting with your soulmate, that you do exist in two different bodies, and that makes it difficult. We have elbows and nails and teeth, all these different things that get in the way of our two souls connecting, and we kind of have to figure out a way to become unified as one in spite of our differences. And that's a big plus of understanding or looking at perceiving that our partners are our soulmates, that really we're one half of the same soul, each one of us. And we really are meant for each other with all the difficulties. You can find me at David Feldman on Twitter, or you can go to my blog. I've got tons of free videos and blog posts, lots of podcasts. All of these spaces are recorded and posted on my website as well as on Spotify. So you're welcome to look for that, as well as my wife's work. You can reach her at miriamruchel.com. And it's basically her Twitter profile also. You can reach out to her there. And if you're interested in her book, it's God Said What? And it's available on Amazon. We did reach the number one new release. So it's a really great book on love and romance, spiritual growth, and her journey as a 19, 20, or as a 24-year-old woman. And yeah, it's just a really great adventure story and love story and spiritual journey. So if anybody wants that. Otherwise, I do want to say thank you to everybody for being here. And till next time, God bless and have a great day.